The Guardian.
This podcast is sponsored by audible.co.uk, the number one online destination for digital audiobooks.
The Guardian Poetry Podcast.
I'm Simon Armitage, and this is Full Moon and Little Frida by Ted Hughes. A cool, small evening shrunk to a dog bark and the clank of a bucket. And you listening. A spider's web tense for the dew's touch. A pail lifted, still and brimming, mirror to tempt a first star to a tremor. Cows are going home in the lane there, looping the hedges with their warm wreaths of breath. A dark river of blood, many boulders balancing unspilled milk. Moon, you cry suddenly. Moon, moon. The moon has stepped back like an artist, gazing amazed at a work that points at him amazed. I think when I started reading Ted Hughes, I appreciated him most for all the blood and guts of the, the violence of the animal poems and nature read in tooth and claw, and also because he came from the same part of the world as me. So there was always a sort of nostalgia for me when I was reading Hughes, and I was away at college at the time on the South Coast when I first read that poem. It was in his selected poems. I was shelling out money on books of poetry instead of spending it on geography textbooks. And I suppose it took me by surprise, the poem. It's not typical Hughes. It's not set in West Yorkshire. It's, as I understand it, a Devon poem. But it's short and it's tender. And I probably appreciated it most as a moment of relief to begin with, in and amongst all the other stuff. But it's a poem that I've come to admire more and more, particularly its technical brilliance. It strikes me as a rite of passage poem, and being the father of a daughter, I think I'd have to be a stone, not to find greater resonances within it than I did when I was reading it when I was, 19, 20. He's describing this momentous occasion when his daughter gives voice to the universe. And I think we're also invited to imagine that they could well be her first words. Certainly they have that feeling in the poem. And she comes to the door and strikes up a kind of vocal relationship with this planet, which for Hughes must have been amazing. Hughes, the trained mythologist, the fact that his daughter made a connection there. I've heard some people suggest that he misheard it for his own poetic purposes, and that she might have been listening to the cows and actually said moo moo. It doesn't matter at all whether or not it's a diary entry or a journal or a piece of reported or recorded personal history. Poems are acts of communication, and if they succeed, they do that as works of art. So I think there's always a time when you've got to try and suppress, the temptation just to tell people about your life and actually write the piece which will be meaningful to the reader. It's got the ring of authenticity. It's got the ring of truth, and I think that's what all poems are grasping for. When I was about 14 or 15, I had no interest in the world at all. And quite rightly, the world had no interest in me either. But I did have a real conversion moment, which was when we started looking at poetry in class. And it was the poetry of Ted Hughes. Poems about animals, pigs, jaguars, pike. You know, I wasn't really a great natural historian, but I could not just see those animals when I read the poems. I could smell them. I could sense them. It was as if he'd recreated their nature on the poem. And I think I understood from that point that language was going to be a means to an end for me. That was the way forward. And I suppose as well, you know, knowing something of the biography, because he was the poet from, you know, the next valley, the poet from just over the hill, there was always this idea that, well, if he could do it, and thinking about his background, then why couldn't I do it? I think it's almost impossible now to chop away everything we know about Hughes's personal life, particularly in that it's connected with another amazing poet. So it goes beyond gossip and tittle-tattle. There are literary and creative reasons for occasionally, you know, prying into what happened there. I think the fact that Hughes actually names his daughter in the poem does open a slight door to us. But I think the poem operates in its own terms beyond all that stuff anyway. It's one of those poems where, you know, I often say about a poem that every single moment counts, every angstrom, every pixel, every little atom in a poem has been selected for particular reasons. So you can focus in even on the title of this poem, Full Moon and Little Frida. He's balancing an entire planet there against his daughter, and it's all hinged on this, you know, the fulcrum is just this word, and this remarkable equation that he offers us in the title, and comes back to this at the end, that image of the artist and the piece of the art, the work, as he calls it. It's clearly an image of father and daughter, maker and the maid, you know, looking at each other in astonishment. So it is that electrical moment of fatherhood that he describes, that, you know, the intimacy, the bond, and the wonder, the bewilderment of having created such a thing. And I love the way that we're tiptoed into the poem by Hughes. It's both miniaturized, it's as if he's creating this little scene for us, but it's also enlarged and amplified. If somebody dropped a pin in that poem, it would deafen us. He brings it right to that pitch and to that point. There's darkness in the poem as well. There's an undercurrent. You know, there are the warm wreaths of breath. There's the river of blood. There's this mention of unspilled milk, which, you know, tempts us to think about the idea that there's no point crying over spilt milk. There are images of, there are maternal images in the poem. There's an absence in the poem. I'm not exactly sure how that corresponds with the chronology of what was going on in Hughes's life, but it, you know, retrospectively, it's certainly possible to find those things in the poem.
Visit audible.co.uk/guardianaudio to choose from a selection of over 60,000 titles. With Audible, you can make more time for books by downloading and listening wherever you are and whatever you're doing.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.